NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, March 20. March 20, bro. Where's the year gone? That's right. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, and who else wants to give me money? And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Just out here repping Straya, man. And all right, man. Fun times in the NBA right now. We're wrapping all 9 NBA games last night, plus all the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah, better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day. And as we do on every episode of NBA Australia, we check in on all the Australian NBA players just to see how they're going, mate. We've also got a new segment, Outback Takeouts, and today we continue our March Madness NBA Australia Championship bracket as decided by you guys. This is awesome. MJ versus Luke, LeBron, well, MJ and Luke versus Dele and LeBron, Steph and Bogut. Pretty good. It's pretty great. Plus, it's Tuesday, so we also have a Mango Matthew Young check in, the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot random guy going off All-Star Hall of Fame of the week, and we preview all the NBA games for tonight, and there's an absolute corker this evening. I love it. And we'll finish up with a Joe Ingles HR manager. All right, let's do it. Let's go. It's NBA Australia. Whoa!
Old mate Dele over here. That's right, Manny Dele Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Yeah, you should, because it is the daily whip around right there. So let's quickly wrap up all the news and what happened last night. Well, the news, there's a little bit of news from the weekend. I mean, the we sort of didn't cover yesterday because we're too busy talking about the Australia-USA game in 2019. What do you reckon about that, bro? Tom Benson, the owner of the Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans, died. Throws up their ownership situation into an interesting sort of little morass. Pretty brutal. Sad news, though. Dude was apparently pretty nice. There you go. Tough one. And obviously, the big news yesterday, Ty Lue is taking a leave of absence from the Cavs. We talked about that quickly yesterday. And a couple more details have come out about how he's like not sleeping, coughing up blood. And everyone's kind of like, yeah, dude, that's fucked. So you shouldn't be coaching. And everyone's like, yeah, no, he shouldn't, because that's legitimately fucked. It's like, yeah, all right. So good job, T-Lou. Good job, Cavs. Smart. Hopefully he gets better. All right, let's wrap the games from last night. Monday night, baby. 9 games. Bucks lose to the Cavs in a wicked game on the old ESPN there. Cavs win 124-117. Kevin Love returned. That's right, the forgotten extra big guy on like LeBron's team. And everyone's like, LeBron's got no one good at his team. It's like, yeah, LeBron, he's got Kevin Love. And he's hurt. Just wait for him to come back. Be Kevin Love. So Kevin Love comes back, has a pretty good one. It's not too bad. I mean, what do you have? Like 17 points? 18, 7, and 4. There you go, in his return. Looked pretty good. Went 4 of 9 from 3. Backstroked. Back up the court, which is pretty fun. Also, fell on the court after a horrible foul. It was a great flop. Good job, Kevin. The Greek Freak versus LeBron, though, was the main attraction in this one. Greek Freak had 37 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. He's backed up ably by Chris Middleton with 30. Eric Bledsoe seemingly didn't want to show up his mate LeBron, so he had a shit one. Had 13 points on 5 of 15 shooting. Ouch. Could have been on the Cavs, Bledsoe. What are you doing, mate? Jabari and Thon both came off the bench. Thon. Looking good with 12 each. But what a game by LeBron. Are you fucking kidding me? This was amazing. 40-point triple-double. 12 rebounds, 10 assists. 16th triple-double of the year. 16 triple-double. You want 6 steamed triple-doubles? No, I said 16, you dickhead. It's like me down the fish and chip shop. Clarkson had 17 off the bench. We're going to talk more about LeBron in a second. Zizic. Ante Zizic had 13 and 6 as well. Bucks, they slipped to 8th. In the East now, the Cavs, they stay third with a hint of breathing room between them, the Pacers, and the Wiz. They're a half game up on the Pacers and 1 full game up on the Wizards. And you know what? Big Ben Simo in the Sixers are only a game and a half back, and they've got an easy schedule. What do you reckon? Could Simo get to third? We'll talk about that later. Anyway, Pacers, they beat the Lakers, speaking of which, 110-100. Also tasty. Pacers get back on track with a much-needed win. No Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, after he hurt his ankle the other night. Not too bad for the Pacers, though. Lakers, look, Julius Randle, Julius, he had 21-9-3. The Coos had 27-8. Only goes 3-10 from three. Lopez, that fucking flog, 23-8. Isaiah Thomas, the king in the fourth. Another shithouse night, 11 points on 4 of 14 shooting. 0 of 5 from 3. And Lonzo Ball had an absolute Barry Crocker shocker. We'll talk about that in Better Than Lonzo Ball in a second. For the Pacers, Victor Oladipo. He had 8 and 15 for 20 points and 4 rebounds. Miles Turner, yes, 21-7-3. But as per usual, for the Pacers, you know who got him over the hump there? Lance, make him dance. 16 points. Love it. Pacers, they stay fourth in the East as mentioned. Hornets, they lose to the Sixers. They went into Philly and got their asses smacked by Big Ben Simmons. Oh, geez. Do you reckon, how many highlights of this do you reckon I watched last night? Like 80? Jesus. So, no Frenchie Batum. Oh, I am Nick Batum. I am out with an Achilles strain. But Joel Embiid and Big Simo crushed the Hornets by kicking the crap out of fuck Dwight Howard. He had the big fucking moron, big fucking Dwight Howard, 10 points, 4 rebounds, shit show. Big Willie Hernan Gomez, though, steps in, 17 points, 3 rebounds, not bloody bad, mate. Big Willie style. Kemba, yeah, 24, 8, and 6. The Big Simo went, you know what, fuck you, Kemba, I should have been an all-star, you dickhead, and puts up his ninth triple-double. 11 points, 15 assists, and 12 rebounds. That's an absolute corker of a game by Big Simo. We'll talk about it at length in just a second. Embiid, 25 points, 19 rebounds, an equal career high for the big Cameroonian. 2 assists, 4 blocks. Just out there looking great in this game. It was really fun to watch as well. And how about Bellinelli? Marco Bellinelli, 21 points off at the bench. How you like this one? Do you want to on the pizza? Yes, Bellinelli. Wow, that was spiraled off very quickly. The Sixers, they crush it. They stay firmly in 6th seed now, hunting the Wizards in 5 and the Pacers in 4. And as mentioned, the Cavs in 3. I love it, but they're only one game back from the Pacers in the 4th seed. Let's go Sixers. The Nets, they beat the Grizz G League team last night by only 3 points. Things I'm happy about. Number 1, not going to this. Number 2, hating the Grizz. Jesus Christ, no Marc Gasol, no Tyreke Evans, and they still nearly beat the Nets. I would have been fucking like 4 beers deep and just going, fuck off, dickheads. Sir, we're going to need you to leave. Sir, can you stop throwing punches at... Sir, you need to leave right now. That's how it would have gone. So trash game. Nets, man. I mean, they let the fucking Grizz. 7 Grizz in double figures. Chandler Parsons, Memphis's most famous Instagram model. He even got 16 minutes out there. He had 13 points. For the Nets, though, sweet baby carrots. Had 7 of 9 shooting for his 22. And Alan Crabb. Crabb people. He had 22 as well. D'Angelo Russell, though. Classic D'Angelo Russell game. I'll talk about that in a second. Oh, jeez. Still, for the Nets, they tack on another win to that Cavs draft position. The best part is, though, they win back-to-back. So they beat the Mavs and then they beat the Grizz. 2 games that they've won. First time since the start of January. Yeah, rough one. How about this game, though? The Heat beating the Nugs in 2 overtimes. 149-141. That is the highest scoring game in Miami Heat history. This is unreal. No D-Wade. He's out with like a calf strain. No one wanted to hit a game winner. This just kept going. You're like, all right, this is fucking entertaining because they keep tying it up, but no one wants to go ahead. Come on, dudes. This is great, though. Then the Heat finally run away with it in the second overtime. Nugs, look, Joker was all right. Jam and Jamal was pretty great. Millsap, meh. But the Heat, spectacular effort by James Bloodsport Johnson in the overtime. So on his way to a career-high 31 points, he scored 18 points in overtime. That is unbelievable. That's another Heat fucking record. 18 points, the most ever scored in overtime by a player. He ends up with 31 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Good job, Bloodsport. And then Kelly Olynyk. Big Kelly. 30 points. Kelly, that's a girl's name. 30 points. That's his second best for the year after that Celtics return game where he had 31. Dragic was fine, but there you go. Bam! Adebayo was out there too. the Heat, they move into 7th. The Nugs. We're going to address them in Old Mate No Mates coming up. Oh, Jesus. How about this, though? Take up a loser! Can you sing it with me? Knicks 110 to Bulls 92. Absolute shit show. So fun, so bad. Bulls sat everybody in this. No Zach LaVine, no Robin Lopez, No Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen. No Chris Dunn. How would you feel if you were a fucking like tourist and you just spent like $300 on Knicks tickets and the Bulls are like, eh, we're not going to play anybody. Oh, they hurt? Nah, we're just going to rest him. What do you reckon? It's like, fuck you, man. Give me back my money. I didn't come here to see fucking Cristiano Felizio put up 17 and 6, you pricks. Anyway, the Knicks, they got 22 from Tim Hardaway Jr., 10 and 13 from Enes the Penis Cancer. Super cool bees at 17 and 6. Nine Knicks had at least 9 points, and they held Chicago to 3 of 30 shooting from 3. Oh my fucking God. Could you imagine watching this game? So with this win, the Knicks actually now knock themselves 1.5 games behind Chicago for 8th spot in the lottery standings. New York, they've also won back-to-back games the first time since January, but theirs was January 26, 30, not earlier in the month like the Nets. And then how about this game last night? Spurs and Warriors, speaking of no one playing, holy shit. No one was healthy on either side of this. It was basically Draymond versus LaMarcus, and Draymond, he got ruled out halfway through with a midsection contusion. It was weird too. It's like, oh, he got hit, and then he's just like off to the locker room, and like Steve Kerr's like, yeah, I don't fucking know, man. So Golden State were without Draymond, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Iggy, fucking everybody. It was basically Sean Livingston and David West. Ugh. So there you go, 89-75. That is a fucking corker, isn't it? That 75 is the lowest in a game under Steve Kerr that the Golden State have ever had. The best part is the Warriors' big four, Steph, the coward Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Clay, they've combined to score 75 points 28 times this season. Oh, geez. But the Spurs, they win this. They needed it too. They've won 4 straight. Absolutely crushing it. LaMarcus just went crazy and kicked ass. And we went, it's like when you see like the big kid just go, wait, I'm way better than all of these fucking idiots. How about I kick their ass? So LaMarcus Aldridge scored 19 of his 33 in the fourth quarter. It's the second highest of his career. Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. The Warriors actually led this at the start of the fourth as well. So they needed that. How's that? The Warriors, they scored 75 and were leading this game. Fuck me. Quinn Cook, that's his third straight 20-plus point game. He had 20. He also had 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Good job, Quinn. And then the final game of the night, who cares? Pistons beat the Kings 106-90. Wow. Sure, Ish Smith had a good game, I guess. Blake had 26-9-7. Better story, though, is the Kings, the development. De'Aaron Fox had 16-14-3, and buddy Steph Curry Heald had 20. That's his fourth straight 20-point game. I love it. Let's go, buddy. Steph Curry, I love it. The worst part is it's taking the fucking Kings this long to just keep starting the guy and go, oh, maybe we should just play our good guy just more and get him playing good. You fucking idiots. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. What do you reckon? This one. Cool.
That's a night. That's a night.
Oh, LeBron James, get the fuck out of here. 40-point triple-double. That's the third oldest person to ever have a 40-point triple-double. He has 40 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. The two older people, Elgin Baylor, number two. He was 34 years, 48 days when he had his 40-point triple-double. And Larry Bird, the legend, he was the oldest. He was 35 when he had a 40-point triple-double. Not bloody bad. LeBron, though, just dominated this. And they needed him, too, because it's like, all right. Shit, so Jordan Clarkson's hitting some shots. This is fun, but we've got Kevin Love back. That's good. But boy, do we need 40 from LeBron. Just him going back and forth with Greek Freak as well. Give me that in a fucking playoff series, would you? That's all I want. All I want is the fucking Cavs versus the Bucks. I love it. All right, who's old mate no mates today?
Old mate no
mates. Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
All right, this was going to be you, D'Angelo Russell, you fucking flog. 14 points, 7 assists on 5 of 17 shooting. Typically inefficient D'Angelo Russell action. The best part, though, he went 1 of 10 from 3. At what point do you just go, yeah, nah, maybe I should chill with the shooting of threes? Like, when you're 1 of 5, you just go, ah, fucking look, clearly I don't have it tonight. I'm 1 of 5. DeAndre Russell just going, ah, fuck it, man. 1 of 10. Like, what the fuck is in your mind that says, nah, next one's good? No problem. Like, you're 1 of 8. You're like, nah, next one's definitely going in. Oh, fuck. He's so tough to watch. But anyway, the actual old mate no mates today. I mean, DeAndre Russell, look, just no one cares about the Nets, you know? So it's actually going to be the West playoffs. Look, they're hard to get into. And you know who's not doing themselves any fucking favors? The Denver fucking Nuggets. Mate, you can't lose to the Grizz and then like be in a double overtime game against the Heat and be like, so what do you reckon? How are we going to do in this double overtime game against a fellow kind of playoff, well, you know, the playoff team? And the Nuggets are like, oh, how about we just try not to win it very much? You fucking morons. The best part was the Nuggets and the Heat, they crashed the stat system last night. Like, there were just no box scores. It was hilarious. Very fucking funny. Very weird. But the Nugs, man, like, Jam and Jamal, you know, the Joker, they were pretty good. But, like, Jokic had 34 points, 15 rebounds. Jamal, he had 23. But it was just, there's just not much going on there, and it kind of killed me. I was like, ah, man, I expected a little bit more from you guys. Pretty sad. Like, when Kelly Olynyk is putting up 30 on you, you're old mate, no mates. It's just how it goes. All right, let's go to Tankapalooza. How are we doing? Tankapalooza 2018 update. Oh, Memphis. They steady. There's a couple of, only a couple of little movers here. So, Phoenix, they're still at 1-19-52. Memphis at 19-51. There you go. They just need to keep losing now, Memphis. What are you doing, mate? Just keep losing, mate. Just keep losing. Atlanta, they're in third. They didn't play last night. 20-50. Orlando at 21-49. Dallas at 22-48 are in fifth. Sixth, we have Sacramento. I believe it, is that right? 23-49? I don't know. Close enough. Sacramento. Yeah, just keep losing. 23-49. I believe Brooklyn. 23-48. So yeah, they sit behind them. So in seventh, in Chicago are in eighth with 24-46, and the Knicks are ninth with 26-45. There you go. That's the Tankapalooza update. Let's get to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you don't get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average.
Coming for everybody. This is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. And you know who it was? Oh, Big Ben Simmons. Big Dick Bernie. Big Simo. 11 points, 15 assists, 12 rebounds, 3 steals. The best part. You know how I mentioned 15 assists? You know how many turnovers he had? Oh, what do you reckon, mate? Yeah, fucking zero. Zero turnovers. Unbelievable. 4 of 9 from the field. 3 of 4 from the free throw stripe. That's his 9th triple-double of the year. That's his 3rd in the last 4 games. That's the first rookie to do so since Big O, Oscar Robertson, back in February 1964. And the best part is, no one has ever recorded 15, well, no rookie has ever recorded 15 assists with 0 turnovers ever since they started tracking turnovers, which was a long time ago, mate. Jesus. So against the Pacers, though, how did Lonzo go, mate? Oh, yeah, not good. Jesus. 4 points on 1 of 4 shooting. All of those 4 shots were from 3, so he went 1 of 4 from 3. He hit 1 of 2 from the field, too. Jesus, mate. So 4 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 4 turnovers. That's 4 more than Big Dick Ben Simmons, though, because he had 0, don't forget. So that means that Lonzo is now 6 of 36 from 3 over his last 6 games. 6 of 36, mate. Yeah, I'm glad they traded D'Angelo Russell for, you know, traded him away. You basically just got another D'Angelo Russell at this point. brutal. Nah, it's, look, this is just the steadying the ship. He was 21 and 42 before that. Now he goes 6 of 36, you know? The old, you know, revert to the median. What do you reckon? Oh, yeah, nah, I reckon that's a median. All right, you ready for Shane Hill? It's Tuesday, so we have the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Guy going off All-Star Hall of Famer of the Week.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. And today's Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Guy going off All-Star Hall of Famer is Glenn Rice. Now, there's a man who can get fucking hot in a second. Just like the hammer. Look, I could have done Glenn Rice's 56-pointer splash, and but you know what I really like? His 40-point beatdown of the Blazers in 1999 when he was on the Lakers. So he's next to Shaq and Kobe and torched Damon Stoudemire, J.R. Ryder, Jim Jackson, and Greg Anthony, the backcourt of the Blazers at the time, for a ridiculous 40 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. But goes 14. of, I believe, 16 from the field. Unbelievable. 8 of 10 from 3. 8 of 10 in 1999. That's absolutely fucking bananas. So he ended up with 40 as quick as you like. That is a heel moment like no other, mate. So fucking hot. Jesus, I love it. So fucking hot, he could have been a bag of Cheetos in a bonfire. Unbelievable. All right, let's get on to the yeah nahs right after, let's say, this one.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, NBA Straya, we back. It is time for Yeah Nahs, where we take three NBA storylines to decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And number one, Ty Lue shows that NBA coaching is fucked. Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, bit of stress, man. Coughing up blood, not sleeping. That's fucked, mate. So it was interesting listening to Sam Mitchell talk about this on NBA TV and like some other dudes, or no, Byron Russell on The Jump as well, talking about like dudes who in the 80s and 90s were probably dealing with this sort of stuff, but were afraid to sort of bring it up because they looked like less of a man. So look, props to the fact that we have gotten to a point as a society where Ty Lue can actually put up his hand and just go, look, dudes, I'm a bit fucked. Can I just like take a couple of days off and get right? And everyone's like, yeah, dude, you're coughing up blood. A fucking course you can. Jesus. So, tough one. Good on you, Ty Lue. Get fucking well soon. Number two, though, the Cavs winning last night shows you how unimportant NBA coaching can be. Yeah, nah, maybe. This is a tough one. So LeBron having a 40-point triple-double is a big factor. But still, I mean, look at Boston or the Spurs. Like, do you think they'd be anywhere near where they are right now without their great coaches? But at the same time, as I mentioned yesterday, without Ty Lue, do you really think the Cavs would be that much worse than the 3-seed this year? It's tough. I know, the drop-off between Ty Lue and Larry Drew. Yeah, I don't know. But hopefully Ty Lue gets better. Look, I like Ty Lue. I got a bit of time for him, so it's weird. Hopefully he just gets to be healthy and be the fulcrum for all that anger directed at LeBron, eh? Yeah, I reckon. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, number three in the yeah, Nas. Hey, what do you reckon? Are the Nuggets Dunsky? Oh, mate, the Nugs. I don't know. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah. Yes, I think they kind of are. They've gone 0-2 to start their road trip. Thing is, they play Chicago, so that's a get-right game on Wednesday. Then they got Washington, Philly, Toronto, Thunder, Milwaukee, Pacers, Wolves, Clippers, Blazers, Wolves again. They're fucked. Sorry, Denver. I just can't see it. Like, especially with being on the, like, Denver can always rely on home court. But they're playing Washington, Philly, Toronto, Thunder away. Clippers and the Wolves away. So they're home for the Bucks, Pacers, Wolves game earlier. And then Portland at the end. So, look, I just don't know if they'll make it. I think the Spurs, they're just, like, gritty enough that they'll do it. I reckon. All right. There you go. So there you go. No Nuggets. Just saying. All right, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. I don't know if this is unpopular considering this is NBA Australia, dude. But the Sixers, they're dangerous as fuck. Like, the unpopular opinion is, I reckon they could win a playoff series. Like, couldn't they? Jesus, man. Like, if they end up anywhere between, what, 3-6, which is where they are now, they probably can't drop back down, barring an absolute catastrophe. But the Cavs, they're 3, the Pacers are in 4, the Wiz are in 5, and the Sixers are in 6. If they end up in 4 and take on, like, the Wiz or the Pacers, I could easily see them winning a fucking series. Like, Joel Embiid and Simmons are probably going to be 2 of the 3 best players in any series that they play against the Pacers or the Wiz. God damn, I reckon they got a shot. So there you go. I reckon the Sixers could win a playoff series with the right matchup. Nice one. What about Outback Takeouse? Oh, Outback Takeouse. Do you want some more shrimp on your take? Today's Outback Takeouse. The Warriors are faking these injuries to rest their guys. I mean, yeah, nah, like they're probably not, but they may be. And I think, I don't care. Like, it's smart. Like, why bring, like, so they're like, hey, we're going to bring back Steph Curry. It's like, why? They just get the dude some rest. I mean, it's like, hey, he might be back for the Atlanta game. It's like, why? Atlanta are tanking. I mean, maybe you just want to get some run into the guy, but don't fuck with his ankles. Like, what's going to, like, help him out more? Like, playing a shit game against the fucking Hawks, or maybe taking, like, an extra 3 days to get his fucking ankle 100% right? I mean, you can't slip any further back. You can't not get to the, well, you can't get to the number one spot, basically, in the West. I mean, you're essentially just battling for, like, home court in the finals versus the Raptors at this point. So, I don't know, Golden State, chill the fuck out. And there you go. I reckon they're faking all these injuries. Not really, but kind of really. That's our back takeout for today. Some shrimp on your takes. All right, let's go to the NBA Australia Australian Player Watch right after these words. Come on, PDX Pete.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yes. Let's do it. The Australian Player Watch. Oh, love this. Big Ben Simmons. Last night, triple-double, number 9, as mentioned, like about 40 times. 11 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists, and 0 turnovers. What a bloody ledge, mate. Absolutely crushing it. And as mentioned yesterday, if you think Donovan Mitchell is like rookie of the year over him, you're fucking dreaming, mate. Look, rookie of the year, we get that Donovan Mitchell scoring more than Ben Simmons. Yeah, it's like 3 points a game more. Meanwhile, Simo is putting up like 8 and 8 for rebounds and assists. And Donovan Mitchell, I'll tell you what, that's about 4 to 5 more than he's putting up per game. Simo, 9 triple-doubles. I know we're not allowed to like them, but fuck off. I think they're awesome. Because you know what? It's hard to get a triple-double, or else everybody be fucking doing it all the time, you assholes. So anyway, there you go. Look, Ben Simmons, I'm going to outlay this as we get closer to the end of the year, but look, come on, man. Come on. Let's just, hey, mate, let's just, mate, let's just be serious here for a second, mate. All right, what do you reckon, Patty Mills? How did Patty Mills go in this absolute laugher of a game against the Warriors? It was an absolute just, oh, it was pretty rough to watch. But the fact that the Warriors came all the way back and were leading this in the fourth, like at the start of the fourth, is crazy. Anyway, Patty Mills had a pretty good one. He had 12 points, but it was on 12 shots. So he goes 4 of 12 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. He adds 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Not bloody bad. I did see him have like an absolute shocker of a turnover, though, where he kind of went up to try to drag a foul, realized that no one was near him, and just kind of threw the ball away. Oh, jeez. All right, the Jazz had a rest game, so Jingles remains the best three-point shooter in the league, and Dante Exum probably smashed Call of Duty or something. Dele! How's Dele going? Oh, he's writing stories about how excited he is about the Australia-US game. So am I, mate. But his Bucks, they lost to the Cavs. So the best part was it meant Thon McCur out there. He's out of the doghouse all of a sudden. He got 12 minutes and scored 8 points in the win over Atlanta on Saturday. And then last night in the Cavs, he had 23 minutes. He had 12 points, 1 rebound, 1 block. Goes 5 of 10 from the field. The best part, 3 steals. Unreal. Good job, Thon. He looked like he wasn't completely lost out there either. He did go 0-2 from 3 because he got blocked by Jeff Green on one of his threes. He's like, dude, you're like 7'40". You're much older than Jeff Green. How is your shot getting blocked? Anyway, good job, Thon. Good stuff. Aaron Bangers Baines did not play last night. Neither did Andrew Bogut because he doesn't have a team. Sitting on the couch. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch. Hey, man, how's Kyrie doing? Yep, no updates on his knee. I reckon he'll sit out another game or two. And you know what? It's Tuesday, so we always check up on Mango Matthew hanging out down there in the G League with the Greensboro Swarm. And look, tough on this week. A couple of losses for the Greensboro Swarm, but our boy Mango crushing it. So they lost to the 87ers last Friday. He played 25 minutes. He had 12 points. Not bad. 4 of 8 rebounds. Pretty good. Wait, no. 4 of 8 field goals. Jesus. 12 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Bloody crushing it, mate. And then a loss to the Long Island Nets. He played 28 minutes. He had 18 points. 18 of them. That's pretty bloody good, if you ask me. 18 points on 5 of 8 from the field, 8 of 12 from the free throw line. He has 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. 18 points. That's his third highest scoring game of the year too. There you go. On your mango! Mango Matthewing! I love it. All right. So, moving along. What do you reckon? We got the NBA Australian Championship bracket out yesterday. This was a suggestion from one of our legendary listeners, Carson, which Aussie legend and their championship teammate will win a two-on-two tournament. So he threw this out there yesterday on Twitter and Facey, and the response was overwhelming. So to re-up, our number one seed. So we've got six seeds. One and two get a bye. Three plays six, four plays five. So the number one seed was Luke Longley and MJ. Number two was Deli and LeBron. Three seed was Bogut and Steph. Four was Gaze and 1999 Tim Duncan. Number five was Patty Mills and 2014 Tim Duncan. And number six was Bangers and Duncan from 2014 as well. So the top two seeds get a bye. So our match was basically between Bogut and Steph and Bangers and Duncan. And I can happily report that you all believe Steph and Bogut would have fucking smashed that one. No problem. So they go through to the next round. And then in the 4-5 matchup, Gazy and Duncan. Oh, Gazy just ekes it out. This is literally the closest one of the entire matchups that we've gotten so far. So Gazy and Tim Duncan go through over Patty and Tim Duncan. I believe someone may have mentioned it's all about the fundamentals with the big fundamental and the Grey Mamba. I love it. Good job. So there you go. So our... Look, we've gone chalk, but to be honest, not that much of a surprise considering the 5 and 6 seeds were Patty and Bangers. But Patty and Tim Duncan, 2014, Duncan's probably just a little bit too old at that point. Whereas Gaze could still play in 1999. He probably still had like another 3 NBL MVPs in him. So there you go. So today we're going to release the rest of the bracket. We've got MJ and Luke versus Gazy and Tim Duncan. And then we've got LeBron and Deli and Steph and Bogut. And then we'll keep playing through till Wednesday when we'll have the title match as well. This is great. So it's been awesome. Thanks for all the responses. Remember, check up today. We'll release the bracket again. Let us know what you reckon. Who's going to win? 1-4-2-3 MJ and Luke versus Gazy and Tim Duncan. And 2 and 3 LeBron and Deli versus Steph and Bogut. I love it. So thanks for hitting us up. Thanks to Carson for the idea. I love it. And let's get to the game previews and the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board right after this one.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stree, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Yeah, we're back. That Stephen Adams one always gets me. I love it so much. Right, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. Look. I don't know what's going on with Patty, but he hasn't been on Twitter basically since the Houston game. Maybe he's like, all right, maybe if I stop tweeting, we're going to win 4 straight. And that's kind of almost what's happened. Seriously, they lost that Houston game and then they've won 4 straight. So good job, Patty. Maybe don't tweet. Just saying. All right, let's get to the game previews for today. What do you reckon?
Game previews. Game previews.
It's Tuesday. We've got 8 games tonight. We've got a lot of games for the West playoff teams. And then we've got absolutely sweet dick all for the East playoff matchups. So let's do it. What do you reckon, Inadvertent Bane?
I believe the Raptors will beat the Magic.
So yes, thanks, Inadvertent Bane. The Raps got a nice tankapalooza team to ease them into their week. Nice get right game after their Saturday loss to the Thunder. Raps win that one. Thunder at Celtics. Oh, Thunder. They get a banged up Celtics team at a nice time as well. Try to bank that win for Rusty and Steven Adams, bro. Thunder win, I think. It's a tough one. Celtics are just tough, but I think the Thunder are just rolling just enough. Clippers at Wolves. How good is this? Oh, tasty. Clippers need to win. They're 9th, and the Wolves are 8th. This is going to be great. I think the Wolves, though, they've got the best player, probably got the better coach. It's the old Sith Lords, fucking Doc Rivers and Tom Thibodeau right there. But this is going to be fun. Clippers at Wolves. Give me the Wolves. Big Cat versus DJ. Austin Rivers getting his fucking head kicked in by somebody, hopefully. Some good stuff. Give me the Wolves. Mavs at Pelicans. Wow. Pelicans really need to crush this pesky Mavs team too. Look, the Mavs just, they play spoiler weirdly large amounts. They keep everything close, put the fear of God into you. So the Pelicans just need to take care of business because they're 40 and 30. another loss could sort of drop them behind the Wolves, who play the Clips. It's tough, man. So give me the Pelicans, though. The Mavs, I don't know. The Wes Matthews injury was kind of the last straw that killed them, that one. The Hawks at Jazz. Oh, the Jazz win streak is at 9, and they play the Hawks, so that'll be 10. I mean, best of luck, John Collins and Dennis. But come on, man. Pistons at Suns. Gross! I mean, Pistons might win this on a back-to-back, but I don't know. Suns. Gotta go in the tank even harder to lose to the fucking Pistons, don't you? Jesus. Just like the Kings last night. It's like, no, we're gonna start Buddy Hield. We're not tanking. Come on. Give me the... I reckon the Suns, like, almost screw up their tanking with this one, eh? Well, no, they can't. They're not allowed to. They're, like, in the prime spot. So they tank harder than hard as possible. So Pistons win. And then the final game of the night, Rockets at Blazers. Oh, shit! What? This is a 1-3 matchup in the West. Blazers with a 13-game win streak. Rockets on a 5-game win streak of their own after their epic 18-gamer. This is a great matchup. Two amazing backcourts. You got fast Jimmy Harden and CP3 versus CJ McCollum and Dame Dolla. You got your big dudes in Nurk and Clint Capella. I love this game. I love it. And it's in Portland, so this is going to be absolutely bananas. I'm going to be like fucking a couple of beers deep, loving the shit out of this one, watching it. What do you reckon, PDX Pete? Who you got? You got your Blazers? I reckon... Oh, they're so fucking hot right now. Man's not hot. Give me the Blazers. I just want them to win. I just want them to win. Fuck Houston. And you know what? That's it. All right. Fuck Houston, apparently. That's how we're going to end it. All right. That's been NBA Australia for today. We're back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia and like us on Facebook. And hey, keep up with our NBA Australia Championship bracket. We're going to release the top four, see what you all reckon. We're going to add to our vote so far. That's going to be fun as hell. So don't forget to make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, however you've gotten this for all your podcast apps. Check us a nice rating and review while you're at it. And tell a mate. If you've got any mates who are like, mate, I really like basketball, but I just don't have a podcast to listen to. Well, oi, dickhead, there's this moron. He does it every day. It's pretty good. thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, the best band in Australia. Their new single, Stop, is out now. They also play a massive, massive show at the Corner Hotel in Melbourne on May 19 with Painters and Dockers, Celibate Rifles, and X. Go buy tickets. That's an awesome, awesome lineup. It's like a little mini festival at the corner. It's going to be a fucking epic, epic show. I love it. Extra special thanks to the legends of Green, 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 Iowa, Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And if you're in a band, let us know. I'll play your songs. Why the fuck not? And that's it for today. All right, stick around for an episode of Joe Ingles, HR Manager. Oh, it's a good one. Comes from Cleveland, I'll tell you that much. And we will catch us tomorrow. This is NBA Australia saying... Later, Hosan. G'day, it's Joe Ingles here, and this is my weekly front-facing appointment in the NBA Australia office. Taking a break from drinking, dunking, and sinking, that's coffees, balls, and threes respectively, answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. And ha ha ha, yeah. I get it. For all you jingler jokers on Twitter, I've seen your tweets, and no, HR doesn't mean hairline receding manager. No, you see, it stands for human resources. Because I didn't go to uni in Canberra just to play basketball. I also majored in human resources. So I'm most qualified to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So, let's get to today's question. It comes from a Mr. L. James in Akron, Ohio. Dear Joe, my supervisor is currently dealing with some health issues and is away from the organization while they sort themselves out. Now, I agree with the idea of them getting better and I wish the best for everyone. Oh, that's very nice, Mr. L. James. But to be honest, he goes on, I've really basically been doing their job and most of their work for them for pretty much the entire time since they got promoted. I've even been covering for them and making decisions and whatnot. So I'm all but the supervisor in name anyway. Like, all the other employees will ask me questions before they ask him, and I pretty much run the ship. So, my question is, should I just take over and do my job as well as theirs? Do you think that would work? Or should I keep saying passive-aggressive platitudes like, he's the captain, and it's like missing one of our best out there? Thanks for your time, Mr. L. James, Akron, Ohio. Oh, that's a great question, Mr. James. Look, glad you wrote in. Look, every workplace presents numerous unique challenges, and navigating relationships between employees and management can be very, very tricky, especially when health comes into play. I'd suggest first off to not take on too much responsibility yourself, because if your fellow employees already respect you to the degree that they consider you a supervisor, then they'll look to you for leadership in this trying time. Thing is, employee empowerment and mutuality of interests are very important facets of any workplace environment. And if your supervisor isn't in the picture, it's up to you to provide leadership in the vacuum. Secondly, this sounds like the perfect HR storm. So what I want you to do is also use a lot of passive-aggressive jargon to get your point across. Like, we're searching for a mutuality of interests. Everyone has to meet their KPIs to reach proper intersectional department synergy. And maybe engage in some aggressive restructuring, or we're all working on our core competencies. See, you can point out how much you're doing without being overt about it. After all, as we say in HR, the backstabber gets the promotional cheese. How do you think I got to be MBA Australia's HR manager over Cheryl, the HR assistant who's been here for 15 years? I told management she was mentally unstable and made up a doctor's certificate that proved it. Anyway, there you go, Mr. James. Hopefully that helped out, and best of luck. I hope your supervisor comes back healthy and you can focus on your human resources and enjoy a healthy workplace and environment and organizational success. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the H&R Q&A session for MBA Australia. I'll catch you next week.